Well, I'm thankful again for each one that's here this morning. Ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless this part of our service, time that we have together to look into His Word. Need the Lord's help to make this profitable. I want to be like Jesus, and I believe that's the desire of every child of God, isn't it? I want to be more like Him. I want the Lord to be able to look upon me and see reflected in me His image. That means living like Jesus lived, being like Jesus was, talking like Jesus talked. It's a tall order, but it's a tall order of grace that the Lord has available for us. I'd like to talk to us this morning about a subject the Lord's been dealing with me about, seemed like all through the week. Maybe you'll find it relevant to you. Maybe you won't think it so. Perhaps if you don't fit into any of these categories, you want to just go ahead and check out and go home. If you're married, I believe it applies to you. If you're part of a family, I believe it applies to you. If you work with anybody, I believe it applies to you. If you live next to someone, I believe it applies to you. If you're part of a congregation, I believe it applies to you. In other words, if you interact with people, I believe it applies to you. Well, I'll leave that up to you, whether or not that excluded any of you. But I believe that it's important for us to know how to deal with people. And I'd like for us to consider the idea this morning of empathy. I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew, the 5th chapter. Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in the 43rd verse. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. If we want to be like Jesus, this is part of it. He said, you've heard that it's been said. This was even as part of their law that was given to them. Love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But Jesus brought something better to them and said, but I say unto you, that word but is a negator of what came before it. It says that's dismissed now. I want you to turn your focus to what I'm offering to you now. A better way. I want you to not only love those that love you, but I want you to go so far as to love your enemies. I know we're familiar with this concept and principle. One of the basic teachings of Christ. But, oh Lord, help us to live it on a day-to-day basis. For it says that it's more than just those from whom I receive goodness and good things. Those that love me and care about me and care for me and give to me and appreciate me and all those kind of things. It goes beyond just that because it requires no special grace for us to love like that. He said, even the publicans love those that love them. They'll even go out of their way for those that'll go out of their way for them. That doesn't require any special grace per se. But what the Lord came to bring does. The Lord came to do something different for us than what just natural feelings and natural relationships would spawn. The Lord came to do a divine work in our heart, to change our nature, to change our disposition, to change our desires and our feelings, that we might be able, and I find this to be a challenge, not only to tolerate those that do us wrong, not only to just be able to endure and refrain from lashing out or refrain from doing evil to them and say, I've accomplished something now. I bit my tongue and I didn't say a thing. Well, that might be needful. There's an element of that that we have to be able to do. But this goes beyond just being able to refrain ourselves and tolerate those that seem intolerable, and be able to just survive living around those that are the extra grace required individuals. But it goes beyond that into a grace of the heart that takes us to the place that I don't just tolerate them, but I love them. That I have a care and a desire for their well-being. It's only in that manner that we truly, that we pray for those, for example. Prayer, as Jesus taught it, is not about standing on the street corner and praying outwardly so that some, but this is talking about whenever I'm in my private times. It's just me and the Lord now. It's just what's really in my heart coming out. That it is, Lord, would you bless them? Lord, would you help them? Lord, would you take care of their needs? Not just, Lord, sock it to them. Lord, give it to them. You're able to rain down judgment and give them their due port, but Lord, would you forgive them? Lord, would you help them to be able to partake and taste of the same grace that you've given me? Do good to them, love them, and bless them. That says to me, again, it's not just those that love us or those that are like us, that look like us, that talk like us, that think like us, that react and respond to life like us, but all mankind. Even to love the unlovable. Or so as might sometimes seem. I'd like to look at 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John chapter 4, beginning. Well, it's a lot of this whole, the theme of this whole chapter, much of it at least. Let's read the 7th verse. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Skip down to the 16th. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because feareth torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. This is a taller order than I believe we of ourselves are able to fill. Because this isn't natural affection, natural love. This isn't instinctive. This world's mindset is geared towards looking out for myself. This world's mindset is to watch out for and think of myself first of all. But we are called to something higher than that. Thank the Lord, the salvation, it does more than just dress us up differently. This salvation changes our disposition and nature. It works on the inward part of us. It works on the desires that we have, the things that we wish for, and the things that we think upon. You know, people can talk much about loving God, excuse me, and have a testimony that I am a follower of God and that I love God. Of course I do. Who doesn't love God? But this comes down closer because we don't see God in the flesh. And the scripture here bears out that if we can't love our brother whom we have seen, then how can we love God whom we have not seen? So the challenge to me is I can talk about loving God, but I can't see Him in the flesh. The Lord has put people in my pathway. He's put people in my life for me to practice my love toward Him. I can't give the Lord a big hug. Oh, there are ways that we show and express our love to the Lord. But I can't put my arms around the Lord and show Him that I love Him. There are people around me that are hurting that I can do just that. I can't cook a meal for Jesus when He's hungry, but I can for others that are hungry. Jesus taught that in the 25th chapter of Matthew, if you'll remember, is the scene of those that were assembled at the judgment. And Jesus said unto those that were on His left hand, that you didn't visit me, you didn't help me, you didn't clothe me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you? We would have done it if we would have seen you, was the implication of that. And He said to those on His right hand, blessed are ye. For when I was sick, you visited me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. You ministered unto me. And they too were surprised and said, Lord, when did we see you like that? Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. So this is part of our opportunity to show, Lord, I love you. When the love of God is shed abroad within our hearts, there should be something that responds within us to say, Lord, I love you. The song says, I ought to love my Savior. And it says, what heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly, the offering of thy soul? The scripture says that we didn't first love God, but He first loved us. And oh, when we see the great love of God, behold what love, the song says. When we behold that, it ought to stir within us a love for God. But you know it doesn't stop there. God whom we have not seen. The Lord will put people in our lives. He'll put us in a family. He'll set us in a congregation. He'll allow us to interact with people on a daily basis to give us the opportunity, and as much as you have done it unto the least of these, to show the love that God has put within our hearts for Him. And that's a natural, this chapter here, 1 John is teaching us that this is part of the result of the love of God being within our heart. Is that we also have a love for for others. This goes beyond tolerance. The world can talk about tolerance and all of that all at once. Their idea of tolerance is so skewed. You know, when the Lord gets a hold of a heart, He strips away racism. He strips away discrimination and hatred. He changes the heart. And suddenly that person, there's a love. I recommend salvation. I recommend getting a hold of the love of God in our hearts. Because it'll change the way we look at situations. There are times that I have to be reminded of how much the Lord loved me. Because even when we're saved, there are and will be times that this may not be easy. It may not be easy. It may not still feel immediately natural for us to turn our other cheek. But it is the high calling to which the Lord has called us. And He has the grace for us to be able to live that which He has called us unto. Remember, well, I want to get Ephesians, the fourth chapter here. Ephesians chapter 4 in the first three verses. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. What a high calling in Christ Jesus for us to be called to be children of God, to be called to be like Jesus, to be called to be representatives of Jesus, His arm extended, His mouthpiece to those that are hurting. That we are called unto that. That we're not called to live unto ourselves. We're not called to live like the world lives. We're not called to just love those that love us as the world does. But we are called to love those that hate us, that despise us, that treat us wrong, that are hard to get along with, that are hard to interact with, that I'd rather maybe just kind of avoid. The Lord has a higher calling for us to aspire to and reach by His grace. The vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, as Jesus taught His followers and those that were gathered around to listen to Him, as He taught them how to treat their neighbor, He said, of the commandments that you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And the Scripture says that some who were willing to justify themselves said, Well, Master, who is our neighbor then? Surely there are some exemptions here. Surely this rule doesn't apply to that person. Lord, I can love this one, and I can love this one, and I can get along with that one, and I don't mind having this one over here over for dinner. But that one? Nah, I can't go there. Thank the Lord that the only bounds on what the Lord is able to do for us is what we put on, as far as I'm willing to go. But the Lord's grace enables us to live like Christ in this world. And I don't know that people are any more likable or lovable than they were in Jesus' day. There were those that ridiculed Him and mocked Him and scorned and treated Him wrong and all of that. And yet, Jesus, we read about in Hebrews, the fifth chapter, that He is able to have compassion on those that are out of the way. Not just the rich young ruler who had almost everything lined up to the letter. But He's able to have compassion on those that are out of the way. Those that aren't where they ought to be. Oh, those that ought to know better. Those that ought to be further along than what they are. The Lord looked upon him and he had compassion. He had the word empathy that I started with is a more modern word, but to be able to empathize with is to be able to feel the pain of another. To be able to feel by proxy. To feel by sympathy or this empathy to feel what they may be going through or the place that they're in. Thank the Lord that he has compassion on those that are out of the way. Thank the Lord he's had compassion on me. When I ought to have been further along. Whenever I ought to have known better. That the Lord was willing to have compassion upon me. We read about as we think of Jesus' example. And this calling that we are called unto. Mark the 6th chapter gives us an example of many. Mark 6 and 33. Jesus and the disciples had departed into the desert. He needed, the world talks about me time. And I think there's a time for us to take care of ourselves and our needs. But Jesus was seeking to go and have some time privately apart from the multitudes and the crowds. They departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. Don't answer this. Don't raise your hand. But have there ever been those that you just... No. Come, not you. Not right now. There they go again. I wonder how the Lord could have felt. I wonder how I would have felt. Maybe I'm tired, worn out. I've put up with so long. The childishness of these people, the foolishness, the stubbornness. I've put up with the dishonesty in their hearts. Them feigning to be one thing. Acting like they want to know the truth and yet inwardly knowing all along that's not what your motive is. I wonder what I would have wanted to say. If I would have wanted to turn back and get on the ship and say, take me to the middle of the sea. I can deal with the fish better than I can deal with the people. You know, sometimes working with people is the hardest thing we ever have to work with. If you're a mechanic, there are frustrations in dealing with parts and mechanical things. I've never tried sewing, but I can hear, and since when Katrina sews, there are times that there are frustrations in working with a pattern or working with whatever you're doing there in sewing. That's the extent of my knowledge of it. But there are frustrations that we encounter and deal with. Things just don't always go right. Don't always go to plan. Try working with people. You know, you can take a bigger hammer, but it's not advisable with people. It doesn't work very well. You can take with a piece of fabric that I've cut wrong or that just and can take and just throw it in the trash and say, forget it, I'm starting over. But I don't recommend that with people and with relationships. But you see, that's too often the mindset that the world has adapted. We live in a disposable generation. Disposable plates. Anybody remember when we'd go to Monarch and they had the big commercial dishwashers and they had fiberglass trays with compartments in it, and I don't remember, maybe there were plates. I know there were plastic cups and all that they would serve, and I'm old enough to remember that wasn't such a bad thing. Whenever Katrina was in there doing dishes too, I suddenly had a burden to do the dishes. But apart from that, It was a chore. It was a job, having to wash for 1,000 people or more, wash the cups and the dishes and all of that, and send them through and dry them and put them away just to start over for the next meal. I'm thankful for disposable things. There are times that it's a blessing to be able to just take it and throw it in the trash, and I don't have to worry about all of that. In a commerce or a situation today, a marketplace where so many things are produced very cheaply, sometimes it's easiest to just throw it away and buy a new one. The vacuum cleaner breaks down. I think there are still vacuum cleaner repairmen, but I don't think it's as common as it used to be. Maybe I'm wrong there. But if you can go buy a vacuum cleaner for $40 at Walmart, am I going to take the time to call a repairman, set up an appointment, go buy it? It might cost just about as much or more to repair it. I say, throw it in the trash. Let's just buy another one and go again. But it's not just vacuum cleaners. People are doing that with their marriages. They're doing that with their relationships and friendships. It's easiest sometimes to just throw it away and start over. It's easiest to say, I know this is getting messy now. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to have these conversations. I don't want to have to work with it. You know, the Lord does not want us to be a people that strives, that has animosity and a spirit that just bickers and back and forth. But you know, in relationships, Lord, help us to know how to bring out what He wants. In relationships, there are perhaps two kinds. There can be superficial relationships that are very surface level, that are very shallow, that the interaction doesn't go a whole lot deeper than, good morning, and I go on my way. And that's appropriate for some of our interactions with people that we encounter in the workplace or whatever the case might be. But you know, there are places that the Lord wants us to get deeper than that. Yeah. Marriages is an example. The Lord doesn't want us to just have a superficial relationship. But you know, sometimes that gets a little messy. While He doesn't want us to be a people that strive and that seek out contention, you know, sometimes I've got to be willing to work through conflict in order to be able to deepen a relationship, to salvage a relationship, to be able to get to deeper depths or more of an openness and a transparency and a working together. Many times, the devil has taken advantage of homes and marriages because people were not willing. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to go there. And I'll just tell you, my nature is to close up and just go silent. That's my personality. That's my nature. If there is some kind of tension, I'm more likely to just... And I can think, that's quite a virtue. I can keep my mouth shut and not say a thing. And you know, there can be a very superficial dealing with problems to that level that I just cram it in. I just stuff it and I'm just going to deal with it. And I'm going to put on a smile. And there is a deeper place that the Lord wants us to be able to get to that I am willing to say it may be messy, I may get grease on my hands trying to repair this thing, but it really comes down to, how much is it worth to you? Do you view it as a plastic vacuum cleaner that's just easily replaced? You know, there are things that are much more valuable in life than that. Yes. That I can't know, and I can't just throw that one away. I am committed to this. That we're going to work through this by the grace and the help of God, and I don't advise doing it without Him. Because trying to work through conflict without the Lord and without grace in the heart is going to turn into a bitter escalation that just erupts into something worse. But you know, the Lord wants us to have a grace within, a care, a compassion, a commitment to one another. That I am committed by the grace and help of God. If I make a fool of myself, if I have to humble myself, if I'm hurt, I am committed for the long haul here. Well, I want to go back here to what Jesus' response was. He didn't just dismiss him. But it says that Jesus, when he came out and he saw much people, he was moved with compassion toward them. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Oh Lord, help me to be more like you. To be moved with compassion and empathy towards those that are without. Towards those that ought to know better. She shouldn't talk to me that way. Well, I'm just going to go off into my part of the house and I'm just going to do my own thing. Maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. But we can play games. Sometimes games can be a little childish. A silent treatment. I want them to know that I'm not happy with X, Y, and Z and whatever. Lord, help us to be moved by compassion. To see the great value that there is in one another. As I said earlier, we talk often about loving the Lord, and right, we should. But this is part of it. Lord, help me to have the love and the compassion and the empathy that you have towards me, towards people that aren't what they ought to be. We are called unto this high calling that we see in Jesus. Think about what empathy looks like. Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 3rd verse, I believe, gives an example of it. This is something that we're all called unto. Hebrews 13, 1st verse says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." This is empathy. This is what it is. We need to have empathy for one another. We need to be able to feel what they're going through. It'll make our prayers more effectual. Have you ever gotten a request for somebody? Maybe he lives on the other side of the country. They need prayer. And well, of course we're going to go to prayer for them. Or we're going to ask the Lord to help them. And I'm going to tell you, when you go and you sit at the bedside of somebody that is suffering all night long, and you hear them crying out, and you see their tears, and you see what they're going through, there's a different level there. Suddenly I feel it. Suddenly I'm there, and I feel the urgency of it. Lord, have mercy on him. Lord, please help him. My prayer is, Lord, help me to have more of that empathy. To be able to relate, not to just shut myself off from what others are going through or what they may be feeling or they may be experiencing because of whatever reason, but to have compassion and empathy on those that are in need. That includes those, as this says, that are in bondage, those that are bound, perhaps in prison, certainly. There are people that are bound in sin. There are people that are bound in vices. There are people that are bound in selfishness and in pride and in things that they don't even realize about themselves. There are people that are bound in deception and confusion and all of that. Lord, help me to have compassion and empathy. Lord, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be deceived myself. Lord, I don't want to be, Lord, am I? To have meekness, gentleness, and humbleness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. I'd like to look at the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the third chapter. Ezekiel 3, and beginning in the 14th verse. The Lord had given Ezekiel a message for a wayward people. And he told him at the start here, go and eat this roll and speak unto the house of Israel. They are rebellious. They've turned from me, and I want you to go speak these words unto Israel. It says in the 14th verse of this chapter, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of the Spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Now it'd be easy to argue here that, well, of course I'm in the heat of the Spirit. This is a rebellious and a stubborn people. And I'm sent unto them to set them straight, to send the word unto them, to send the message unto them. So I'm there and I see the need and I see the problem. It's not me that's at fault here. It's not me that's got the problem. It's you. But I want us to look here and consider what Ezekiel did. As he went in bitterness and in the heat of the Spirit, he said, I came to them of the captivity at Telabib, that dwelt by the river of Shebar. And I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me. You know, the Lord wanted him first, although he was a prophet of God, a minister of the gospel, however you want to think about it, and was sent with a message from God. Again, keep in mind, it wasn't Ezekiel with the problem. It wasn't Ezekiel that was the rebellious and hard-hearted and stubborn and all of that. We can look sometimes at people that we interact with or that we deal with, and it is so apparent to us that the fault is very lopsided here. You're the one with a problem. Why am I having to suffer with that? Why am I having to deal with that? That's your problem. But there was something that the Lord wanted Ezekiel to do as he was in the heat of the Spirit. I want you to go sit where they sit. Just keep quiet. Be silent. Observe. Watch. Feel what they feel. See what they see. Experience what they experience for a little while. The saying puts it something like this, of walking a mile in another man's moccasins. I think there's something to that. That the Lord would have us in this idea of empathy. To sit where they sit. To try to experience, to try to feel, to try to understand. Again, it's not there that I am to, in Ezekiel's case, to condone, to excuse wrongdoing. But Ezekiel was there trying to have empathy. Or trying to, the Lord wanted him into a place where his passions were tempered, where he was able then to speak to them and to speak to the problem from love and from empathy and compassion. We'll go a lot further in dealing with people and dealing with problems whenever that is our heart and that is our starting point, that I'm coming at it from compassion within. What is the instruction to those who have fallen, to those that have fallen short of the grace of God? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself also, because it could be me. I want to be able to have that empathy. Sometimes, again, it's messy, frustrating. Sometimes people seem unlovable, unapproachable, difficult. But you know, behavior is the tip of the iceberg. What we see of people And most of the time with people, we don't see more than the tip of the iceberg. Behavior. We see people's behavior as they lash out, as they act ugly, as they respond. And it's easy for us to respond in kind if we're not careful to that behavior that we see. What is their problem? Come on. Take a chill pill, would you? Why you gotta honk at me? Why do you have to cut me off in traffic? Why do you have to be so rude? What is your problem? Folks, we don't know what the iceberg is under the water. Little do we know what's going on deep down inside. We are complex beings. And what we see on the surface really is kind of artificial. It's not to say there's hypocrisy in everybody and we're trying, but I say that to say it's just skin deep. The expressions we see, the things that we see of somebody that we can have even a snap assessment of them and, whoa. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to put in a deliberate effort. Say, Lord, help me to sit where they sit. Lord, help me with that individual to consider what they might be going through. I'd like to look at a couple passages in Proverbs. Proverbs, the 18th chapter. We continue on a little bit with this idea of the analogy of the iceberg. Proverbs 18 and 4 says, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." The things that we see, the expressions, the behaviors, the things that we see in people are an indication of something many times much deeper within that maybe even they don't fully understand. But it's a function of something. The scripture here says the words of a man's mouth, they are deep waters. It's not to say everything that people say is deep in that sense. But it comes from a depth inside. It comes from deep down inside, beneath the surface. What most people don't usually see and understand of a person and their makeup and what they've been through and what they've experienced and what they're experiencing right now and the weight that may seem to be crushing them right now. There's a depth to every one of us that it would behoove us to understand about ourselves, first of all. Lord, help me to understand the depths. There's a scripture that says, out of the depths, I believe, will I praise thee. Out of the depths of my heart, maybe the depths of my suffering and things as well, but out of the depths of who I am. Lord, I want to go deep. I don't want to just deal with superficial things about myself. I want to go down to root causes of why am I responding this way? Lord, what's making me act this way? What's making me behave this way? I want to understand those things about myself. And I want to challenge us as well, by the Lord's help, to strive to understand other people as well. I'm not talking about psychoanalyzing everybody and scanning it, and I'm going to somehow be able to. But Lord, help me to sit where they sit. Lord, help me, especially in those relationships that are committed into my care. One another, in our families, our marriages, our congregations. And Lord, help me to be willing to invest the time, the prayer, the seeking God to be able to understand somebody better. There are people I don't understand very well. Sometimes think I don't understand myself very well. We're pretty limited. Lord, help us and give us an understanding of people. The inward, psalmist said, the inward thought in the heart of man is deep. I'd like to look here also in the 20th chapter of Proverbs. Conclude here, Lord willing, shortly. Proverbs 20, in the 5th verse says, "Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, But a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, the Lord wants us to have, I don't know how else to say it, but people skills. The Lord wants us to have skill in being able to understand and discern. Talking about deeper than just a shallow knowing how to tolerate, but knowing how to understand somebody that I'm working with and dealing with. Why, Lord, what's going on in their life, in their heart? A man of understanding is going to draw it out. Is going to be able to draw out those deep waters. Do we desire to have those kind of deep relationships? It's where the deepest fulfillment is. In our marriages and our relationships, we're going to have to be willing to invest by the Lord's help and His understanding to be able to draw out the deep waters from those wells. How much effort am I willing to put in? Do I see the intrinsic value that a soul has? Where the world may say, done with them. Done. No, forget it. Do I see what I see that soul? Do I see them as somebody that's acting ugly? Do I see them as somebody that's not acting like Christ and that is pathetic? Or do I see, Lord, there's a soul there that's hurting. Lord, there's a soul there that you love and that you care about. It might hurt. I may not want to do it, but Lord, if I can, as much as lieth in me, Lord, help me to draw it out. Lord, help me to be able to understand, know how to work with that individual. It'll require, to some extent, understanding myself to be able to understand others and know how to work with them. And this isn't just about psychology and psychoanalyzing people again. This is about, Lord, I want to have wisdom. I want to have skill in knowing how to work through problems and situations of life and be able to have that bond of unity and closeness in our marriages and in our homes, our congregations, and to the limited extent we can, without a true spiritual fellowship, those that I work with and those that I encounter on a daily basis. I want to consider, while we're here in Proverbs 2, in closing the 18th chapter. Proverbs 18 and 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. You know what the bars of a castle do? They keep the person on the inside of the castle held in. And they keep the person on the outside from being able to get in. There are people in this world that are hurting so deeply. And yet they don't know how to get out of this. Maybe they've, children I think of, that have come up in abusive situations and things that they don't know how to open up. They don't know how to be vulnerable. They don't know how to trust somebody. They don't know how to get out of the bars of the castle. And there's no getting in through the bars. You know, the Lord wants to give us wisdom to know how to melt some bars of iron. To know how, through wisdom and understanding, to be able to get inside. To be able to gain that connection with people. Because we can pass out invitations, tracts, flyers to people. But you know, many times, the ones that we're really going to be able to reach for the Lord are those who, even maybe through adversity, they see Christ in us. In their hurts and in their problems, that we're willing and able to get and invest in them and show them the worth that they have and the love that God has towards them, and to build some relationships and some trust with people, even in our community, to be able to start getting inside and touching. Because I'm not going to be able usually to do it just at the checkout counter. I could say hello and good morning and smile, and that goes so far. It really does. But there's a place, if I'm going to be able to really touch and help people, that I'm going to have to be able to get through those bars and with understanding to draw the deep water out. So I encourage and challenge us this morning. Lord, help us to have the kind of empathy that Christ had. You pray for me that I'd be able to do that as well. Amen.